We're talking about kids and COVID on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the CDC COVID tracker, pediatric hospitalizations for the virus have been rising rapidly. But according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, more than 500,000 children received the first COVID vaccine dose this past week. What's on your mind about sending your child back to the classroom as the Delta variant spreads widely? Is your tween on the cusp of turning 12? What have you talked about in terms of getting vaccinated? What questions do you have for the pediatrician? 800-642-1234. Dr. Jasmine Zapata is Chief Medical Officer and State Epidemiologist for Community Health for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, DHS, and she specializes in pediatrics and preventative medicine. Dr. Zapata, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much.
More children are getting infected now, being hospitalized. And with the Delta variant, are children now at greater risk than they were last year?
Great question. We are definitely seeing that Delta is different. We are living in different times than we were last year. It's a very different situation. We know the Delta variant has much higher transmission rates, where it can spread much easier. And that is definitely impacting our children. And we're definitely seeing more children hospitalized and getting sick with this variant than last year. So this is a very serious situation.
What are you telling parents?
Yes, I am. My personal approach is to have a conversation with parents. A lot of times we talk about educating and telling people things. My biggest approach and the approach at Wisconsin Department of Health Services is really continuing conversations. Personally, what I like to do is just listen, take some time to listen for the first several minutes to just hear what's on the parents' hearts, what their concerns are, what their experience has been, and then validate their concerns and then have a conversation, give a few facts and figures and help them think through what is the best choice for their children. But ultimately, my main message that I tell them is that the vaccines are safe and effective, and one of the best things that we can do to protect our children once they are of an eligible age is to get the vaccine.
I'm sure you're watching, you know, schools across the country have started, and here in Wisconsin, we're about 2 weeks out from first day. Do you think in-person schooling for unvaccinated children is safe?
That is a great question. Personally, when I've been talking to my personal network of friends and family, talk to other colleagues and schools, I acknowledge the fact that everything that we do is taking a risk, and we must weigh the risks and benefits for every choice that we are making. So on one hand, when you think about it, to be extremely cautious and safe from any infectious disease, if you just imagine yourself sitting in the house, never leaving for food or groceries or to go anywhere, and you just sit in your house for the whole entire year, you'll be pretty safe compared to when you go out. Mm. However, what are the emotional implications of that? So when you think about children going back to school, it is safe when you just sit at home and they're doing that virtual schooling because they're not exposed to others. However, when you talk about safety, do you mean physical safety, or are we also talking about emotional and mental health and safety in that way? Yeah. So we know that there are some very serious implications of taking children away from that social environment. But on one hand, sending them to school, that it will help with their education, help with that social environment. But anytime you leave out the house, whether it's school, to the grocery store, even to a large gathering or going outdoors, then you are slightly increasing your risk just anytime you're leaving the house.
And it's like, we as parents, I just feel like we're having to make these micro mini decisions every day about determining risk. Like, should we be holding our children back from social activities? And then balancing, as you said, that social emotional learning. And what about birthday parties? What about joining the soccer team? There are so many questions, Dr. Zapata.
Yes, yes. This is not easy. I'm not going to come and say like, oh, here's the exact thing to do, or this is such an easy time. It's definitely difficult. I myself am a parent of a a fresh 12-year-old and almost 11-year-old and a 3-year-old. So these are constant conversations in our house and in our families. It's not easy. Back to the question about schools, for parents that do decide to send your children to school, one of the safest things that we know that we can do is continuing to have children practice good hand washing at schools, physical distancing, and then also wearing a mask, especially if they're not of the age to get vaccinated yet. Wearing masks in schools is effective, and that's one of the things we can do to keep our children safe.
When you talk to little ones about mask wearing, what are some of the messages you have for your kids in wearing masks correctly, but also not like trying to overcorrect, you know, all the time, like your mask isn't on straight, get your mask on correctly. You know, what do you say?
Yes, I love to play games with my, personally, I love to play games with my children, make it fun, watch videos or little jingles about keeping your mask on, and just trying not to instill too much fear in them, but just gently correcting them as they're doing it and being a good example myself.
When do you think children under 12 will be approved for the vaccine?
That is an amazing question. That is the million-dollar question. There's a lot still going on with that. The different companies that are doing research and institutions that are doing research on the vaccination in children under 12 recently decided to increase the number of children enrolled in their study just so they can get even more robust data. So that delayed it a little bit. However, I am hoping it will be approved in the next few months. Several medical experts are anticipating it could even be approved before the end of the year, for sure, early 2022. So I'm anticipating it is likely to happen within this school year sooner than we think. And that's why it's so important to have these conversations and be thinking about this and talking to people. If you are a parent, begin thinking about this, because it can happen sooner than you know. And so it's important to get your thoughts together and start thinking about the decision that you're going to make.
You know, just a logistical question here with kids on the cusp of turning 12. I have one of those in a few days. But when you call the pediatrician and you want to schedule that COVID vaccine, it's like, no, you got to call back when they are 12 and then you can schedule. What are the logistics there of getting that child in to get vaccinated?
Well, I'm sorry that happened to you. Every single clinic and it has a different workflow. But the great thing is that there are so many places that you can get your children vaccinated, even if it's not their primary care clinic. There are still many, many community vaccination sites and pharmacies and other locations. So if you go to vaccines.gov, that's great, because you can just put in where you are located and they can help you find many different options. So if there is a location you're trying to get into that you're finding any difficulty, just remember there's a lot of places that you can get the vaccine or get an appointment. So sorry that happened.
No, so you're saying that places that serve adults with the vaccine also may also serve children?
Yes, large majority of them do. They will, most all locations right now that are doing community vaccine clinics or even at the workplace, there's many vaccine clinics on site at the workplace that say you can bring yourself or your family and children over 12 and they have the Pfizer vaccine. So yes, definitely.
We're talking with Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer, State Epidemiologist for Community Health at Wisconsin DHS, getting at the latest on the Delta variant, kids, COVID, your questions, 800-642-1234. Paula is joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Paula. What is on your mind?
Oh, hi. Yeah. Can the doctor please dispel, I know this is misinformation, but it's out there on the internet, regarding fertility / reproductive concerns in young teen girls getting the vaccination, because that is out there circulating.
Paula, thank you.
Yes, thanks for being here with us this morning and calling in. There is no strong evidence at all to report that it causes any issues with fertility. There have been many studies looking into that, and there's no strong evidence that shows that there is any problems with that from what we know right now. One of the ways, now this is me personally, one of the ways that I think about it, because I actually have a young daughter who's getting ready to be 11. And so within a year, she'll be eligible for the vaccine if it's for 12 and up. But if 12 and under gets approved, she'll be eligible earlier, and I'm having her get it. Now, one thing that I think about is I weigh risks and benefits for anything. We've just been talking about parents have to make such tough decisions. And I think about it as, you know, even if there were some small risk, which we have seen that there is not, even if there was some small risk related to fertility, well, I want my daughter to reach the age of having children in the future. I want her to live to see that day. Delta variant and COVID is a serious and real risk to our children. There are about 400 children who have died from COVID-19 in the United States. Now, many people say, out of all the people nationwide who have died, only 400 children. But what if that child was yours? What if that one child was yours? That's devastating. And so one child is too many. So I want my daughter to live to even get into her 20s, 30s, or whenever she's going to start having children. I want her to even get to that point. So you have to weigh the risk and the benefits. From what we have seen, there is no impact on fertility, and it is safe and effective to get your children vaccinated.
Dr. Zapata, I want to touch on booster shots here, because there's some early information coming out this morning that the Biden administration will direct most Americans to get a COVID booster vaccination 8 months after they receive their second dose. New York Times is reporting the announcement could come as early as this week. What do you see by way of who needs a booster shot and how you approach booster shots?
Great question. So we know that when you get the vaccine or even get COVID naturally, you have some level of protection. You have more robust protection from COVID-19 when you get the vaccine. But over time, and that's what there's active research right now as we speak, active research into that. But what we're seeing, and medical experts and scientists are starting to look into and see, is there is a possibility that some of that protection might slowly wear off slowly over time. The key question is, how long does that protection last? And when is the right timing to potentially get a booster shot? So right now, some studies are showing about 8 months. And so that's why the recommendations, the pending recommendations, are suggesting possibly getting a booster around 8 months after you've gotten your last shot. And so there's still a lot of research going on about it, but I do anticipate that that announcement might be coming out soon. As far as priority for who gets that booster shot, right now, the priority is for individuals who are immunocompromised, that for whatever reason, whether they have an underlying condition or they're on some sort of medication that suppresses their immune system, they are at a higher risk of getting COVID and getting severely ill from it. So those who are immunocompromised would be the first priority.
First people in line. Let's pause right there with pediatrician Jasmine Zapata, state epidemiologist for community health at DHS, fielding your questions about COVID, the Delta variant. Do you have a child who's 12 or older but hasn't gotten the vaccine yet? What do you want to ask? What do you want to know about the Delta strain specifically and its effect? What questions do you have about your child's mask, about safety protocols in schools? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with physician Jasmine Zapata here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The number of COVID cases in children has steadily increased since the beginning of July. Analysis from the American Academy of Pediatrics. The AAP says of last Thursday, more than 4.4 million children have tested positive for COVID since the onset of the pandemic. We're getting at your questions, 800-642-1234. Dr. Jasmine Zapata is a pediatrician and state epidemiologist for community health at DHS with us for about eight more minutes. Dr. Zapata, you were saying that last week the FDA authorized those third doses of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines for people with weakened immune systems. What should we know about booster shots, especially for this segment of the population that is immunocompromised, and then boosters for what populations after that?
That is a great question. Those determinations are being developed right now as we speak. There's some suggestions that the next group will be those over the age of 65 because we know that they have had higher hospitalization and death rates. The next suggested group for booster doses, there is some conversation that it may be healthcare workers, almost the same order that it went in at when the booster shots first rolled out. I'm sorry, when the vaccines first rolled out.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the CDC urging vaccines for people who are pregnant, especially in response to the Delta variant?
Yes, that's a great question. And in fact, personally, my inbox is always lighting up with a lot of my pregnant friends and family members. It's always asking me, and this is a very serious conversation to have, because when you're a pregnant person, you are concerned not only about yourself, but the baby that you are carrying. We know that in pregnant people, vaccines are safe and effective. Any small risks definitely do not outweigh the benefits of getting the vaccine. The recent study that was completed showed that the vaccines were safe and effective in pregnant people and those who are breastfeeding. And we actually see evidence that if pregnant people get COVID-19, there are increased rates of complications and even premature birth. Mm-hmm. Now, my daughter was born a premature birth about 11 years ago. She was only 1.5 pounds, and our family is still healing from the consequences of her being born so early and so soon. So there are real risks if pregnant people get COVID-19. We know that. And we know that the vaccines are safe and effective. So we definitely are recommending those for pregnant people.
There are 660 hospitalized COVID patients now from the Wisconsin Hospital Association there. And there were under 100 COVID patients at the beginning of July in hospitals. We see these numbers inching up by the day. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still well under what hospitalizations were in the thousands last November. But what concerns do you have about hospitals, healthcare teams meeting this surge, especially with the children?
This is a very serious concern for me, especially looking at what is happening in Florida. And I am in communication personally with colleagues, my physician and hospital colleagues from across the nation. There is a lot of concern. Just imagine if you have a heart attack and you want to rush into the hospital, but then you're told you can't come to your local hospital. We need to transport you an hour away because all the hospital beds and ICU beds are full with COVID patients. That is what's happening. There are some hospitals where all of the ICU beds for even children are filled. So you have to wait till either a child recovers or dies before your child can get in. There is a lot of concern going on. And what concerns me is that the trends that we're seeing in Florida, there's anticipation that that same trends will come to Wisconsin. And why is that? And this is a key point I just want to leave everyone with before we end for today. In Florida versus Wisconsin, we have about the same vaccination rates. And look at what is happening in Florida. They're having a surge. Beds are full. They're having a lack of hospital doctors even to handle what's going on. Florida is extremely hot during the summer. So what does everyone do? They spend more time indoors. Wisconsin right now, we are all spending a lot of time outdoors, but as we creep into these colder months, everyone's going to be coming in. And so there's anticipation that we're going to see something similar to Florida. And that is why we are doing everything that we can to plead with people, please get the vaccine. Please, if you don't trust it or you have questions, continue having conversations with people that you do trust. We don't want to lose anyone else. We want to protect our children. We want everyone to live their best lives. So those are some of my concerns, but that's why we're out here at 7:30 in the morning having these conversations on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Dr. Zapata, when you last joined us back in May, there were some 46% of the state had gotten at least their first dose of the vaccine. Now we sit at about 53% having gotten the first shot. How I can hear your voice with all of the urgency, but how do you get those vaccination rates up?
We just keep having conversations and showing love. That's personally one of the things that I've been really focusing on. This conversation can be very polarizing at times, and sometimes there are those who have made the decision not to get the vaccine who feel isolated or a lot of stigma, and that's only going to push people away further. So keep having conversations until people feel more comfortable, and that's what we're here doing. Some people are able to make that decision right away. Some people need a little bit more time. I'll be honest and very transparent. Even though I'm a medical doctor and a public health leader, I've had my own negative experiences, as just being honest, as a Black woman dealing with the healthcare system and my family as well. So when the vaccine initially came out, I did have a little initial hesitance, and I wanted to just do my research and kind of wait a little bit. So, I got vaccinated ultimately, but I just needed a little bit of time. This is something that our nation and our world has not dealt with in over 100 years. So it's understandable to have some questions, but we're right here for when you are ready to continue the conversation.
Well, Dr. Zapata, thank you for your work. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer and State Epidemiologist for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Stay with us for our next installment of our ongoing Ask the Contractor series, this one focusing on all things electrical around your home. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.